Previously on Talk to Dad.
Hello.
Yes, I am Henry.
Wait, no, I'm not Henry.
Hello, Henry. I'm Will.
So confused.
And I sound very deep.
I'm Will.
It is Christmas, dang it.
It is Christmas.
Anytime you get Halloween, it's Christmas until New Year's Day. And it could be crazy. It may blow out my whole soundboard. This podcast may die because we did something dangerous.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. Let's just all knock on wood on 3, 2, 1.
In this house, we believe in...
He's a good boy.
That mayor, he's a good boy.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Sometimes
who's
in politics,
a good boy? That just, mayor, he's a good boy.
Sometimes in politics, we just need good boys.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast episode 226. I've got Elizabeth here with us.
Hey.
And Elizabeth's friend Caroline. Yo. Carolyn, sorry. Let me try that again. Elizabeth's friend Carolyn is here with us.
Yo, 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 what's up?
How many times have you been on the podcast, Carolyn?
I think this is my third time.
Third time?
Yeah.
I think that's probably right. That sounds right to me.
Yeah, not a whole lot, but... I just drop in now and again, every once in a while.
Yeah.
I feel like... A lot has happened since the last time you were on the podcast.
Oh, boy.
Here's a question I should know the answer to, but I don't actually.
Yeah.
Is, are you now married?
I'm not married. okay. I was supposed to be married, so you're not far off, because originally I was supposed to be married November 6th, but COVID happened.
And then
happened.
The accident. Oh.
That too. We don't talk about that. No, because COVID happened, we were scheduled, so I'm getting married in June now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
June is a popular month for getting married.
I know. Everybody's like, oh my God, you're having a summer wedding. And I'm like, I didn't really pick this. Like, it was kind of out of necessity. It was the only thing they had open.
I feel like June is probably a pretty good bet. I think if you would have asked me like a couple months ago, I would have been like, I don't know what June's going to be like. But now we've got like 3 vaccines. So
I felt so much better when they came out.
If the pandemic's not over by June, I don't know what will happen.
That's just going to be a whole nother... Box of worms to contend with, can of worms, box of worms. I don't know how they package
the worms.
The worms
are in a container.
Yeah.
That's
can
all we know.
Can of worms and a box of snakes. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Snakes are just
There's
like
a box
big
of
worms.
Something.
There's a. The cats are in the bag. I know that. And the worms are in the can.
The cat is out of the bag.
Now it is.
It's now out of the bag. It was in the bag.
I don't know what's in the box, though.
Maybe a fox?
The
fox
cow
in
the box?
Fox in the box?
The train has left the station.
No, the cow's over the moon. Or is that more of a state of mind?
Well, depends on if the dish ran away with the spoon, I guess.
This is awful.
Yikes.
Carolyn, so tell us more about your June wedding.
Let's see. Well, I am really excited because we are going to have an ice cream sundae bar. That is basically the most important thing that's happening besides the fact... Thank you. Besides the fact that we're actually getting married, it's like getting married is number one. Number two is the ice cream bar.
That sounds like a really good excuse for getting married.
That's what I thought. And I was like, you know, like, why have the party? And then I was like, oh, that's right. So I can stuff my face with food.
Tell me more about the ice cream bar. How many flavors of ice cream will there be?
It depends on the place we pick. But everybody seemed it to be like you can pick like 6 flavors. And then they have like 20 toppings you can put on it. And I don't even know how many like toppings I can think of that would even make 20. Like you have your standard like sprinkles, nuts, cherries, different sauces. But then I'm like, are we getting like marshmallows?
Whipped creams.
Yeah.
Oreo crumbles.
Fluff. We're just getting
caramel topping.
Crazy
cherries.
With it.
Strawberry topping.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. So.
I wasn't sure if I was going to come to your wedding or not, but I just decided.
I'm flattered. Thank you. I knew we had to pull in people somehow, so it was like
I think you need to get the word out. I think on the invitations it should say there will be an ice cream bar.
Exactly. Because I was really bummed at first because like for our November wedding we were originally going to have a s'mores bar because there was a bonfire we could light outside. And I was like, well, I don't want to do a bonfire in June because it's already going to be like a bajillion degrees. And so I was like, what are we going to do instead? And then Chandler was like, what about ice cream? And I was like, there is a reason I'm marrying you. This is decent.
And maybe by next June, you can have an ice cream bar without people feeling like the ice cream scoop needs to be disinfected between customers.
Exactly. You know, fingers crossed. We're really hoping for it to clear up by then.
Yeah. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
It's super exciting.
What's going on for you, Elizabeth? I know you've been here a couple of days, like 2 days in a row. I feel like we've got a wealth of Elizabeth's presence in this house.
Yeah. Been playing Minecraft recently.
You know, you share that with Henry. Henry has also been playing a lot.
Yeah, we've both been playing Minecraft. I don't really have any news, I don't think. Oh, I can't believe, I don't think I've told you guys. I know I've told Carolyn, actually. But a kid called 911 in my class the other day.
A kid called 911 in your class?
Yeah, in
or
my class.
On your class, or both?
No, in class. I was substituting at a high school, and it was like an AV course. And all they had to do that day, because it was like a Friday, but all they had to do was take a quick quiz, and then they had some free time. So they were just goofing off or whatever. And you know how if you hold down certain buttons on your phone, it pulls up the emergency, sort of emergency contact or whatever?
I didn't know that. I don't think I knew that. Did you know that,
Carolyn? I did know that, yeah.
Buttons do you have to hold down for that to happen?
It depends.
Like the volume and the power? No, that just reboots it, I think.
Well, okay, when you open your phone, see there's emergency at the top?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if somebody doesn't know how to unlock your phone, but they need to make an emergency call, they can do that.
Uh-huh.
He sat on it weird, and the emergency call was, like, pulled up, but it hadn't dialed yet, and he was like... And he was, like, talking to his friends. He was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if I called 911 right now? And apparently, for whatever reason, his Google picked up his voice.
Like, Siri called 911. Oh, you would like to call 911?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what happened. And he so and like all of his friends were like, bro, hang up. And he hung up, and they called him back. Because obviously they're concerned, right?
So I feel like... We're very blessed to have a former 911 dispatcher on the podcast to tell us if this is a real thing.
Yeah, it totally is. It'll get your location and then, and it's track your phone number. And usually I think it can triangulate kind of where it's coming from. And they'll call
you. At least to the closest cell tower, I think.
Yeah, to the closest cell tower. And then, but they'll always call you back because, you never know if it was like, if it's like a domestic dispute and like somebody mm-hmm. like hangs up your phone for you. Like they always call back to make sure everything's okay. I'm really surprised, like, they must have been really convinced that like everything was fine because sometimes they'll still send out an officer to like go check on it. So like I'm really glad that they weren't like we're going to
SWAT
the
team here
to the high school. I mean they might have contacted the SRO, but they called him back and he answered and he was like, "Hi, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I sat on my phone weird and yeah, I ended up calling you. I'm sorry." And they're like, "Oh, okay, well, what's your, like, location and, like, what's your, cell phone, like, service provider?" They also wanted to know, so that they could...
Just to confirm the details.
Yeah, just so that, yeah, just to confirm the details and, like, double check that, you know, nothing weird was going on. And he kind of was like, "Yeah, I'm at this high school, here's my cell phone provider." And he listed off like his number and everything. And he was like, "Okay, bye." And so I was like, "Is there a police officer coming to this classroom? Do I need to prepare myself?" And he's like, "No, I think it's fine."
Oh my gosh.
Does this all check out, Carolyn?
Yeah. That's
Does funny. It happen a lot?
I was only there for a little bit, so I didn't see it a bunch of times, but, like, it's definitely known to happen, especially with, like, little kids that mess around with their phones now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I actually just finished working at the police station. My last day was last Saturday, so thank you. Thank you, thank you. It was it was quite nice, actually. I was kind of ready to be out of there, because I've been there for almost 3 years now. It would have been 3 years in January.
It's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now that you're out of there, you never have to work with the public again.
Yeah, I'm a teacher now, so that didn't go
do
as
you have
planned.
Do you have a womp womp?
No, I need to get that. I've always been meaning to have Henry play that on his trombone.
On his trombone, yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. But yeah, that's actually really funny because like,
you're a teacher now.
I am a teacher.
Tell me more about that.
So I started, I
didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no, you're good.
Like
I am
I did just now.
I work for Rockwall ISD at Rockwall High School. I'm teaching pre-AP biology and integrated physics and chemistry. So it's mostly ninth graders. It's my first time teaching ever. So it's a little horrifying because I feel like I don't know what I'm doing at any time.
The yellow jackets.
Yes.
You're teaching a bunch of Yellow Jackets.
I am teaching the Yellow Jackets, though ironically our school colors are orange and black.
Wait.
Yeah, they're orange.
Wait, is that really their school mascot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, but like, I don't really know what kind of mottos you can get out of that. Like, just sting them. Like, I don't know.
Hope they're allergic.
Bring out the EpiPen, boys.
They're not booing, they're just buzzing.
Yeah. And so, it's been fun. I've been there for almost a month now. And, yeah, it's wild. Ninth graders are hilarious because like half of them are either too scared to look at you in the face and they'll just kind of like awkwardly like side eye you when you're trying to talk to them. Or they're like absolutely ridiculous. I had one kid and he was like, I helped him with a problem and he was like, oh, gracias. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, de nada. And he was like, oh, you said it back in Spanish. And I was like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. I think everybody knows how to say de nada. And he was like, no, nobody ever does. You're the best. I was like,
yeah, no, as a substitute, like the weirdest things will be like, they'll kind of fixate on and go like, oh, you're my favorite teacher now. Like, I think I complimented a kid on their, My Hero Academia binder. And I was like, oh, hey, that's a pretty good show. Do you like watching it? And he's like, oh, you know what anime is? And I'm like, this is the only situation in which knowing what anime is increases your social status. But, you know, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to Elizabeth earlier about on Halloween, we had some trick-or-treaters and mm-hmm. we were out in front of our house, like, so they didn't have to come up to the door and we were giving them candy using one of those grabber things
we
could put it into their bucket so they wouldn't have to get like right up to our face. But there was this one little girl that came around and I was like, oh, so what's your costume? And she said, well, I'm like a high school girl who is like really good at gambling. I was like, oh, I know who you are. But I didn't say it because I don't know. That would have been awkward.
Yeah, that's fair. That's actually kind of cool.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I spend a lot of my time either like buddying up to the kids and they're like really receptive to it, or they're mm-hmm. just like, they think you're the absolute worst. Like they all thought I was such a fun killer while we did lab. Because I wouldn't let them put their hands on the hot plates that were on. They were like, it's not warming up. And I was like, you gotta just wait for a minute. And they'd be like, it's not warm yet. And they just smack their whole palm just right onto the surface of it. I was like, get your hand off. And they're like, but why? And I'm like, you're gonna burn yourself. And they're like, but it doesn't hurt. And, it's gonna.
The fact that you said it doesn't hurt is not gonna keep the teacher from getting in trouble either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, it's gonna be fun when your parents email me and be like, why does my son have second degree burns on his palm? And I'll be like, well, you see.
He got upset when I told him not to smack the hot plate. Yeah.
Just kapoosh. Yeah. So between that, the broken glassware and, the kid that like almost set something on fire, I was like, by the end of that lab, I was like, okay, let's all just sit at our desks. Let's just sit down.
Yeah. No, I like being an English teacher because nobody trusts me around fire. really the most like outrageous thing that's happened in my class, like the most dangerous thing that's happened in my class, besides like people falling out of chairs because they were being dumb. Mm. Was like a kid asking me if I thought space was real and then declared that he did not because he knew the truth about what's going on. And that was mostly dangerous because I felt like smacking him, honestly.
Did you guys see there were on Twitter, this was kind of going around, but there was it was like a letter that was written by a college professor and it was, I guess like some students have found his Twitter account and like were saying all of the horrible things this person had done.
Oh.
But the letter was, it sort of started out as, let me explain all the things that are being said about me. None of them are true. But then it just got worse and worse. He was like a physics professor at some college in like Western Michigan.
Already a red flag.
And he was a professor of astronomy and physics. But part of his deal was he believed the moon landing was faked. But that was like the least worst thing of it. He was trying to explain why, like, just because he believes that there are, you know, conspiracies among elite Jews that run the world, that doesn't mean he's anti-Semitic because there are some Jews that are fine. And it just got worse and worse.
No.
It was like racism and just like all of the bad things that could possibly be. It was very bad.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of the tip of the iceberg was the astronomy professor who believes the moon landing was faked.
I think that interferes with your job. Like, everything else aside, if that's, if it starts out with your professor who is meant to teach you about space,
yeah,
doesn't believe the moon landing was real, and then it right. goes downhill from there, it'll you're like, in for a wild ride.
If your AP biology teacher believes that cells are fiction.
Yeah. Just for the record, cells are real, I promise.
Yeah.
But can you prove it? I've never seen one.
I forgot my microscope in my car, I'm sorry.
I don't believe in microscopes.
You know what? I just don't believe in seeing.
You know what? You might be onto something.
And this is how crazy theories start, you know.
Just keep one-upping each other, yeah.
Exactly.
So speaking of crazy theories, we did get COVID tested this last week.
Oh, really?
Yes. We knew we were going to have a couple of people over for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. My brother and his wife, who right now, they live about an hour from us, but none of their family kind of lives around them anymore. Their kids have all grown up and left them. So they wanted to get together for Thanksgiving. They were thinking about going to closer to where their kids are for Thanksgiving, but due to all of everything, just kind of generally gesturing around me,
yeah.
They decided maybe that wasn't such a good idea. So they did want to come over to our house. And then like on, I think it was like Saturday or Sunday, Allison and I both woke up with kind of sore throats and chest congestion.
Oh no.
And we were like, is it the thing? It turns out it wasn't the thing.
That's good.
We didn't have fevers. We have our sense of taste and smell, but we were just worried and thinking, well, if it is, we need to get tested right away so that, you know, we can tell them, nah, don't come over.
Yeah.
Probably would have told Elizabeth not to come over either. But, so we found a testing center that had testing slots available, and it was in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
In Bex's neck of the woods. It was near the ballpark in Arlington in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And they had lots of open slots. So we drove the family there on Sunday, drove through. Have you guys been tested yet?
I haven't. Other year being tested?
Either one of you have?
Getting a mm-mm. test in a parking lot of a baseball park would be so shady.
Sounded. It'd be weird, right?
Yeah.
And they had these little booths set up. And what you did is you drove through. You register online and then you show them your little like code that says you're there for a test. And then you drive through and they hand you this little kit, except they handed us four of them. They were also using the grabbers we were using at Halloween. They say, all right, roll down your window. They're like, no, roll it up a little more than that. So you're like, you've got like a couple inches, you know,
yeah.
on your window. And they give you these little kits and they're in like a Ziploc bag. And inside it, there was like a little test tube with some liquid and like a swab that was like inside a package that you open up. You take the swab out. This one was really, really easy to do, actually. It was like you take the swab and they say, like, circle it around for like 2 seconds on your cheek and then on your cheek and then under your tongue and then over your tongue. So you just kind of, first you had to cough into your elbow like 3 or 4 times. You're like, cough and then swirl it around and then you stick it in. You take the swab and you stick it in the test tube and then you break it off and then you put the test tube stopper on it and then you put everything in the bag and give it back to them. And it was pretty simple. It wasn't like they didn't have to stick a swab up our nose and tickle our brain or anything.
Yeah. Because that's what I've heard from most people is that like they call it like a brain biopsy because it's just so far up there.
Yeah. That it's like way past what's comfortable is what I've heard. But this one was really easy and it was really fast. So they got us the results. Like I think we got them in a day and a half.
Oh, that's good.
Which isn't really too bad. So we got them like, I think it was Tuesday morning. We took it on Sunday and we got it Tuesday morning. And we were all negative. So.
Excellent.
The best way to be, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the best way to be would be to have the antibodies and not realize that you even had it. Although.
That's true.
I say that would be the best for now, although I would feel bad like looking back like, well, what if I had it and gave it to someone that didn't know about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the biggest part. Like, I'm not really that concerned about me having it because, like, I'm fine. I'm a generally healthy person. Like, I think I'd get over it very quickly.
You don't have, like, a career in sports to ruin or anything.
But I'm like, man, I would feel terrible if I gave it to somebody else, especially, like, my parents or something because they're a little older. And I'm like, oh, that would be real bad. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah, like I think about that. We haven't visited my parents since this whole thing started, and they're both older, and I would feel just horrible if like us visiting caused them to get it.
Yeah.
Because they would not, it would not be good for either one of them at this point in their lives.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we did go visit my aunt who has cancer, and everybody had to do COVID tests before that. I didn't end up doing one because it was right after, like, they couldn't get me in for one, but I was like, I feel fine. And so I just kept my mask on the entire time I was, like, ever near her. Mm-hmm. Like, I stayed, like, as far away as possible, and I kept my mask on the whole time. But we went down to Fort Davis to go see the mountains there, which I didn't
know. Where's Fort Davis?
It's a little south and a little west of El Paso, I think. It's, like, way out there.
So it's, like, as far away from Dallas as you can get.
Yeah, it's a town of, like, I think 200 people. It's itty-bitty.
Like, way on the tippy-tip of, like, the part that sticks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But it was actually really pretty. But the coolest thing to happen out of that is we rescued a dog. When we went down there. My sister and I, on the, like, last day we were there, we were walking to take the trash out from our hotel room, and we found a dog in the dumpster.
Oh, no.
And we were like, he was just like a little puppy, and he was so cute. We named him Pepper because he was like white with little black splotches on him. So I was like, you know, it seems like an easy name to call him. We ended up taking him to the vet to see if he was microchipped, and we tried to take him to several of the animal rescues that they had, but none of them would take him in because either they were like, one of them was closed permanently, and the other one was like, well, he's not from this city, so we won't take him. And I was like, but he's a dog that's homeless. And they're like, yep, that's the rules. And I was like, that's very stupid. So we ended up taking him with us because we were supposed to fly out of El Paso. And so we drove him all the way to El Paso, which was like a 3-hour drive from Big Bend where we had been. And my sister ended up driving all the way back to Reno, Nevada with the dog so she could foster him. So that was absolutely crazy.
Was it a nice dog?
He was so sweet. The vet said he was about 3 months, and he weighed about 17 pounds. But my sister, she called when I talked to her last night. She said he's gained like 7 pounds now.
Really?
That's good.
Yeah, he's a chunker.
It means he's happy.
Yeah. Is he doing well? I heard that there's like some medical stuff wrong with him when y'all picked him up.
So we found out he was deaf when we picked him up. So that was a little bit of a challenge. And then when we got him back to Reno, he actually ended up contracting parvo.
Which is like kennel cough, right?
It's, I think, like a more serious version of it. It's actually has like a really high mortality rate. So we were really worried about he wouldn't make it through, but he made it like a champion. He like trucked it through in like 2 days, and then they released him. And they were like, I think he's fine for now, so he should be good. And, so he like healed up really well, and he's been living with my sister's 2 other dogs. So she has 3 dogs in one house right now, and it's apparently been absolutely nuts.
Did they get along? How are the other dogs doing? Yeah.
One of them loves him. Kiva, who's like a bloodhound pit bull mix. She thinks he is just the bee's knees. She's like, I have a buddy to play with. And then my sister's Chihuahua, who is 11 years old, absolutely loathes this dog. He's just like, leave me alone. I don't want to play.
Chihuahuas are very nervous, I think, and they don't like.
He's just such a grumpy old man. Like, he's just, all he wants to do is lay on his blanket and sun himself.
Yeah, if you're an old lazy dog, I feel like having a puppy around to harass you would probably kind of be a pain.
Yeah, it just kind of kills, it harshes your vibe a little bit. Yeah. So that she was like, I would keep him if they all got along, but they don't. So her longtime boyfriend, her boyfriend's sister's friend, ended up wanting to adopt a dog, and they were like, well, good news, we have one. Would you like one? And so they're actually supposed to be meeting up today to like go transfer him over and have him like meet his forever home. So
good. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, some animals, like you meet them and you just know that they're like a good dog or like a, you know, very friendly animal.
Yeah. And he was like, he wasn't even skittish from like the moment we saw him at the dumpster. We just were like, hey buddy, come here, and like called him over, and he just kind of trotted over, just herp, derp, derp, derp. Like, he doesn't seem like the brightest dog all the time, but like,
no.
But yeah, he makes up for it in spades.
Most dogs, I think. Yeah. Most dogs that aren't border collies are like,
or like,
fair,
poodles.
They're not that smart.
Yeah.
He has his moments. He's like, he weasels his way into stuff. He weaseled his way into the food bag while we were driving. We didn't notice until we kept hearing this like weird crunching noise from the back. We're like, what is that?
You see his little butt sticking out of the bag.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was just like a sweet dog from the start. So I'm really glad that we were able to find him a place for him to stay.
Yeah,
That's very nice.
We had the same thing kind of with Sasha. She was a little bit more reserved.
For people who don't remember, Sasha is Elizabeth's cat.
Yes, my cat. But we adopted her, like 3 years ago? 3 years ago. And we went down to the Dallas shelter, and like how it works, at least with the cat room down there, is that there's like a kennel of cats, and there's a ton of cats like across a couple of walls. And then if you ask the staff, they can take out one of the cats, and there's like a little playroom for you to interact with them with. Mm-hmm. And the volunteer that day, when we were like, oh, this one seems like she really wants to cuddle, she was giving us these big old eyes and was kind of meowing at us. And we took her out and we put her down, and she was just all over us, like rubbing up against us, like getting in our laps, playing with the little dangle toys. And the volunteer was like, she's usually really shy. I haven't seen her like react to people like this. She's a very sweet cat, but usually she's like kind of reserved, kind of shy.
Oh
yeah,
cat chose you.
Yeah, exactly. We were kind of torn between that one, between Sasha and like, there's another kitten there who was very, very sweet, but kittens are a lot of work. And we knew that kitten was going to get snatched up by a family who liked him anyway and could probably, you know, play with him a little more. They had a lot of young kids.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Puppies and kittens are adorable, so they're usually in higher demand.
Yeah. But they are like, a lot of work.
Puppies and kittens like children. They're so cute, like, as a matter of survival, because otherwise people would just be like, I can't with this one.
I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really hoping that kind of works out with us, because we're going to go, we're looking at cats on Sunday. We're finally looking at adopting our first cat, me and Chandler. So.
Yeah, because you're in a pet-friendly apartment now, aren't you?
You and your fiancé.
Yeah, me and my fiancé, we're finally pulling the trigger on getting a pet, because I've wanted to for a while. I've been like wearing him down slowly until finally he was just like, I was like, look at this cute picture of a cat. And he was like, okay, that is really cute. And I was like, there you go.
What was the cat's name? Again?
The one I really liked, his name is Simon. He's like an all black cat, and he has those big old yellow eyes. And so
I love black cats with really bright eyes, because it's like the Studio Ghibli, like the soot puffs.
Yes.
The soot sprites, it's just like a big old mound of black with two like big old eyes staring out at you.
Yes, it's just so cute. It's just like the void stares back at you, but in an adorable way.
Yeah.
Or Gigi from Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do we have any Maisie updates?
I can't remember if we've talked about this on the podcast before. I don't think we have, but I discovered something about Maisie. Right over there where Bex is sitting. Bex is here. They are off mic, sitting on the couch. But on that side of the couch is where Maisie likes to come perch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that sometimes if I sit down on the couch right there, she'll kind of circle around and kind of look at me like, that's my spot. What are you doing in my spot? Why are you here? And it bothers her that someone else would be in her spot where she wants to be.
Yeah, like she won't do anything about it, but she'll kind of look at you like you're kind of rude. Like, I don't want to say anything, but that's my spot, like unofficially.
As soon as you move, she'll like jump up there. Like.
Yeah, for being a dog, she likes to perch a lot, and I'm pretty sure she's like part bird, maybe?
She does. It reminds me of in like the comic strip Peanuts. Snoopy used to have this thing where he would perch on his
doghouse.
A vulture.
Yes.
And that's what she reminds me of.
Oh, I can see
Bex, if you move from that spot, will Maisie hop up?
Let's see what happens. Where is Maisie right now?
Right there.
Oh, okay. She might be sleeping and napping and... Oh, yep. Yep. Oh. There she goes. Wait. She did. She moved over there.
She moved right there. She's like, oh, I'm going to follow back. Oh, actually.
She's not perched at the top like sometimes she does, but she's definitely plopped herself down in that seat.
I think it's part of like her big dog complex, because she wants to be a big dog and she wants to be tall and she wants to see everything.
Yeah.
She's like a little bit anxious, so she wants to like kind of have a good scope of the area, and she wants to be big.
Yeah.
She's a weird dog. I was taking her on a walk yesterday, and she, like, she wandered about half a block, and she, like, kind of did her business. We wrapped it up, and then she, like, stopped in the middle of the street. She did not want to go any further. It kind of creeped me out, actually.
Yeah, she's been doing that a lot lately. I think she has, it's like she's become agoraphobic.
Yeah.
Like, she leaves the house, and she's excited about going for a walk, but then she gets about halfway down the street and is like, all right, let's go back. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know what's around the corner, about her. And I'm...
Well, because it was dark, too, well, and there was, and I was like, oh, like, you kind of wonder, like, oh, is there something that, like, she knows that I don't know? Is it dangerous down there? Yeah. You know? Because you always hear stories about, like, yeah, my dog was going crazy, and then we realized that there was a crazy guy in our attic or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think she's just a very nervous dog.
Well, I'm a very nervous person. She's making me nervous.
But sometimes, like, when I do that, like, if I pick her up and carry her around the corner where she can no longer see the house again, then put her mm-hmm. down, she'll start walking again.
Oh, it's just the object permanence.
I guess. I don't know. It's like...
What a bizarre creature.
Yeah, she's a little weird.
She's a weird little dog. Weird, I don't know. Maybe walking around during the daytime would help.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. So back to your cat, Simon.
Oh,
are you going to keep the name Simon, or are you going to change the name?
I'm probably going to change the name.
Simon's a little bit of a person name.
That's it's okay to do, right? When you adopt a pet, you can change their name.
Yeah, we changed it with, like, our last dog. We did
with our dogs, too, that we adopted.
Well, partially, Sir's former name was, like, a relative of yours, so it was already, like, a little weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just awkward. And, like, I don't know. I just like putting my own spin on it. Like, I feel like I've always wanted to have, like, I've always had, like, cute names I'll see, and I'm like, oh, I want to save that up. I never want to save it up for a child, because, like, who cares about that? But I see it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be a good name for a pet. So I got to have something to use it on.
I really like food names for cats for some reason. Like, if I see, like, a cute cat, I'll be like, oh, you know, that's a cute cat. But then somebody's like, yeah, his name is Chicken Noodle. I'm like, oh, man, that's great. That's awesome. I love that.
Chicken Noodle.
Yeah.
I do really like Peanut. That, actually. My coworker.
BB&J.
My coworker has two cats, and she named them Cupcake and Pancake for no discernible reason. She was like, I just thought it was cute.
Those are good names.
Oh, yeah, it's very cute.
Because one is flatter than the other.
Pancake is actually kind of like golden brown pancake colored.
Oh, nice.
So it works out really well. I don't know why Cupcake. Cupcake's just kind of like a tabby, so.
I also like names when people name their pet dog or cat, like, after another animal, like, that's Moose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a dog and name him Goose once. I thought that would have been really cute.
Oh, yeah. Goose is a good name for a dog.
Goose is a good name for a dog. Or a cat. But maybe more a dog.
There's kind of like the standard other animal names, right? Like, you're not going to get a cat and name him Lizard. Although that would be pretty cool, actually.
Get a cat and name him Rover.
Name him Rex. Yeah. Get a dog and name him Mittens. You got Rex and Mittens, and everybody's like, oh,
if the dog had, like, white paws, though, I could almost see it.
Socks. I like the Socks the Cat. I think that's a classic.
Yeah,
oh, that's cute.
Yep.
I don't know. I really wanted to name the cat Basil, because I thought it was just very distinguished sounding, and Chandler was like, that's dumb. It's just an herb. And I was like, that's why it's cute.
To me, it sounds like a middle-aged British man.
Exactly.
That's why it's perfect. Yeah, name him Ferdinand. Name him Alfred.
Ooh, Ferdinand.
Name him Norbert. It's a very, like cat name.
His job is he's a secretary at MI6. He's not an operative. He's just a secretary in the
building. No, he just mines the disk.
Sometimes he analyzes things.
Exactly.
He's an accountant.
He's a chartered accountant.
I'm like, that's the vibe I'm going for a cat. I don't want one of these, like, little young rambunctious ones. I just want one that's like, yes, do bring me tea, thank you.
Yeah.
Splash of catnip on the side, perhaps.
Let's do some news.
Ooh, all right.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have an update from a story we did last week when we discovered that platypuses glow in the dark.
Wait, they do?
Did you know
yes.
that?
So do people, yes. Vaguely.
There was a study that just came out in the journal Mammals
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
said that platypuses fluoresce when you put black light on them.
Yes.
Which was unknown. We went through over that last podcast, actually, that platypi is just colloquial.
Huh.
Scientists use the term platypuses.
Well, I'm not a scientist.
But
so.
Because it's the same thing with octopuses. Like,
well, technically it should be octopodes, but...
Exactly. It would be platypodes if you were following.
Platypodes?
That sounds amazing, and I'm going to call them that from now on.
The actual Latin.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's actually Greek,
it's Greek.
Dad.
Or it's Greek. Greek, yeah, it's
yeah.
Greek.
Yeah, Dad.
Anyway.
It's Greek.
I can finally use my Latin knowledge for something. That's not Latin.
Pedantry.
It's Greek.
What else would you use it
but
for?
It would be like, platypi would be like an improper Latinism, I guess, or something
yeah.
like that.
It'd be Latinizing a Greek word?
Yeah.
Is platypus a Greek word?
I think so.
It's derived from a Greek word, I believe. Oh.
But anyway, wow. So follow up to that story. Some people, some scientists in Australia read the journal article, and they were at the Western Australia Museum and decided they were going to go around their museum and see if there are any other animals that also fluoresce.
You know what? I was like, yeah, just knock out a ton of them while we're at it.
Here's a quote. They said, we borrowed a UV light, turned off the lights in the collection, looked around for what was glowing and not glowing. The first one we checked was the platypus, obviously. We shone a light and they were also glowing. It confirmed the research. The team also examined other specimens and found fluorescing specimens of marsupial moles, bilbies, and wombats.
Oh, bilbies.
So wombats glow in the dark. Wombats, the other fun fact about them. Do you know what the other
fun
fact is?
It's that they have square poops.
Yes, they have cubic.
Wait, what? How is that even poops. Possible?
It's actually something to do
they
with the way they're
cubes.
Yeah, it's the way their like intestines are formed. They actually like it'll condense them into solid matter, and then they'll stack them up.
They're like a living trash compactor.
Yeah, and then the best part is they stack them up to mark their territory.
But they also glow in the dark.
Oh, that's fun.
Under
wait,
black
what is a bilbo?
Would, a we bilby.
Just, a bilby.
So, I didn't know what that is either. But if you Google them, and this was really fun, I thought they only glow in their ears and their tail.
Aww.
So it's their ears and their tail that glow.
That's fun.
Oh, that's what a bit.
They're kind of weird looking.
It's like an aardvark rat.
It's one of those things like Australia
like
has
seen,
the weirdest animals.
I feel like I've seen it before. They're kind of cute. They're kind of weird looking, but they're kind of cute. They
yeah,
look
like
they were designed by Jim Henson.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's like halfway between an aardvark, a rabbit, and a rat.
Yeah.
But their ears and their tail glow. And
that's
the rest
funny.
Of them does not.
Did you know that puffins also fluoresce?
Yes, the puffin beaks. We talked about that.
Oh, fun. Mm.
And North American flying squirrels.
Oh, I didn't know about the
fluoresce
squirrels.
Fluoresce bright pink.
Huh.
That's how they found it, actually. Was some biologist was like going through the woods with a black light and saw a flying squirrel. And he was like, that's weird. It's pink.
Oh, must be going fun. To a rave.
I just like the puffins because, like, in the scientific study they did it on a couple live specimens, too. And mm-hmm. when they were using the UV light, they didn't want to damage their eyes, so they put little puffin sunglasses on them.
That's adorable.
It's the
so
cutest
it looked
thing.
Like a puffin rave, basically.
It did. So, like, if you're ever sad, look up puffin sunglasses, and it'll make your day.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So they still don't know why these animals fluoresce, but they're hypothesizing that maybe it's so that they could identify their fellow species in the dark, because all of the animals that fluoresce are nocturnal.
Mm.
So maybe they can identify them. Okay, they may be able to see UV light.
I was about to ask if they could see
and
UV light.
They will know that it's like a fellow, whatever, bilby, and they can approach it without being afraid.
Just imagining bilby vision, like... like bilby vision glasses, putting those on and running through the forest, having just,
just see,
rave
just
forest
see his ears jumping around.
Yeah,
I would pay. Like I would pay good money for that.
Yeah. I would too.
So that's just a quick update. Do one of you guys want to share one of your stories?
Do you want to go first?
Sure, because I feel like mine's going to bring down the mood a little bit because it's actually a lot more sad than I thought it was.
All of our stories today have to do with creatures.
Animals, strangely, yes.
Yes. So the headline for this one today is dead minks infected with mutated form of COVID-19 rise from graves after mass culling.
Zombie minks.
So we have zombie minks. It turns out, so they had all of these minks and they definitely killed them all because they were infected.
In Finland or like where?
Denmark.
Denmark.
Okay.
So, but there's been an issue with after they buried the carcasses, since it was such like a rush job, they buried them really, shallowly, like only 3 feet under.
Shallow graves.
In shallow graves. And the problem is the gases during decomp are like forcing the bodies out of the graves. So it looks like they're rising from the dead. Like just real thriller style. And I.
Like a mink hand. Just going right through the grave. And
yeah. So they said that they're going to try and go back and bury them all in deeper graves, though some of the officials are calling for the fact that they should just burn them all. And so have, like, a giant mink pyre.
Hmm. That's a little macabre.
They could have, like, a Viking ship, though. If they're going to do it, they should do it on a Viking ship.
They should have, like, a rowboat full of flaming minks. Yeah. Set it on fire.
That would be amazing.
Give them a Viking funeral. They deserve it. They're in Denmark, after all.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel kind of bad for them. Like, poor minks. They were just chilling there to get their fur used. And
it is pretty sad.
Now they're rip the minks.
The, apparently, yeah, coronavirus is, like, really bad for minks and weasels and ferrets.
Yeah, which is, I find very strange.
Which is weird. Yeah. Dogs and cats can get it, but apparently it doesn't really do anything to them. Like, mm-hmm. they can get the disease, but it doesn't make them very sick.
It's basically like a cold or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not so much for the minks. It was not their day.
Maybe, and they said, like, all of the minks, like, 15 million, they're just going to destroy them all.
Yeah, they're just going to cull every single one of them.
So I guess Denmark just won't have a mink industry anymore.
Yeah, it's 15 million minks, which produce 40% of the world's mink fur. But, like, at least on that front, like, probably shouldn't be buying mink fur anyways, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, that's something you just don't really see in stores anymore. You don't see, like, fur coats. Or if it is, it's faux fur.
It does seem old-fashioned, yeah.
I was telling Elizabeth that my grandmother had a mink stole.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you know, it just kind of goes over your shoulders, mm-hmm. and I think it was my grandmother on my mom's side. I think, like, my two sets of grandparents are a little bit different. Like, my father's parents are sort of very down to earth, very, a little more religious, a little more, like, very practical. And my grandparents on my mother's side were a little bit more, like, kind of the country club set. Hang out at the country club and go to, like, dinners and stuff, and I think she would wear it, like, at the country club.
Oh,
I don't think she actually wore it that much. I think
it was for a special occasion.
Like, my grandpa bought it for her, and it was like, and she kept it in her closet, but I remember seeing it there when I visited.
Even just having a stole, a little bit old fashioned.
It didn't actually have, like, the fox head on it. That would be really weird.
Yeah, those always creep me out.
I think those are only, like, a thing in, like, children's cartoons and, like, New Yorker illustrations.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, or, like, it has the ermine with the little tails.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That's just...
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
But, yeah, fur doesn't seem like it's... It just doesn't seem something that we still have around in 2020. So...
Yeah.
Maybe just... I don't know. I don't know what they do
stuff
with
is just as soft.
I assume there are people that have had, like, the mink farm in their family for generations, though. Like, I don't know. That would be strange for them, I guess.
Yeah. It's... just really weird, honestly, but
maybe it's bigger in Denmark? Possibly? I don't know.
I think they probably export most of it. Maybe it's... Probably. I can see it being one of those things where, like, there's no longer a market in North America, but, like, the rising middle class in China, that's, like, the thing to have is...
I was going to say that, yeah. Like,
or
maybe.
Russia. It seems like in Russia they would wear a lot of furs.
God, that seems like such a Russian thing.
It seems like doesn't a stereotype, it? Yeah. Like a Russian, like, they just wear lots of furs and they drink vodka.
The Russian
and
oligarchs are already...
They write very long and very sad novels.
Hang rugs on their walls.
Yes, duh. Yes, these are mink fur. And it's like a raspy, like, smoker voice.
Obviously.
And they take a shot of vodka and...
Yeah. They dance with their legs kicking out very low to the ground.
Well, let's all pour out a shot of hot chocolate for the minks.
Yeah.
The zombie minks in Denmark. Elizabeth, do you want to share your story?
Yeah. So with this story is, like, a separate piece of paper with a picture of one of those little road signs that can be programmed to say different things. That, like, you see on the highway, and they always have, like, cheesy puns on them. I don't know if you've seen them.
I saw some the other day about, it was like, it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was, don't be a turkey, buckle your seatbelt.
Yep, I saw that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one too.
And there was another one similarly bad. There was, like, that one and another one they were running. I can't remember.
Yeah,
the other one
on my way down there, I saw those. But this one is in Canada, where it is very snowy. Currently, and it says, do not let moose lick your car.
Which I saw that picture when it went viral, and I was like, why? First of all, why would moose be licking your car? And second of all, what are you going to do to stop them if they decide they're going to lick your car?
Yeah, moose are big. They can do whatever they want.
It's like, hey, don't lick that.
Don't do that.
Get that out of your mouth.
Stop it.
You don't know where this car has been.
So, yes, these are all the questions that were posed by this New York Times article. Why were Canadians warned not to let moose lick their cars? They ask questions, which, you know, it leads to questions like, what happens if a moose licks your car? Is it really that big of a problem? And how exactly would you stop them? So these signs were put up by a Canadian national park, Jasper National Park. It's in Alberta, kind of in the southwest.
It's really cool.
Southwest of Canada,
yeah. It's a really cool place.
It looks pretty.
It's very pretty.
Yeah. But basically what kept happening was that people would idle their cars to, like, look at, like, moose gatherings, and the moose would stop and start licking the cars because they would salt the roads, and so the in order to kind of keep the ice off the roads. And so the cars would be really salty tasting, and the moose would go, oh, yum, yum. So they quote this guy in the article, Steve Young, who acts as spokesman for the park, and he has some extremely choice quotes in this article that I'd like to read. Essentially, this is the same thing as, like, trying to stop campers from leaving food at campgrounds, so that doesn't encourage bears to come by and eat human food. He says, if you find a restaurant you really like, do you go back to that restaurant again? Yes, you do. That's what wildlife do. They'll go back. They'll get habituated to it. They're more likely to lick indiscriminately. If the opportunity isn't there, they don't learn that's a way they can replenish their diet. So we're trying to take that opportunity away. Just the way he phrases everything is very, very choice. I mean,
you can kind of universalize that. Like, we shouldn't be licking indiscriminately either. And moose.
No, there's a lesson for humans and moose. Don't lick indiscriminately.
Yes. Be more discriminatory in your licking.
Yeah. Just like I like to say to my students, don't put your mouth on that. Stop it.
Yes.
Stop. Don't do that. This is also to kind of prevent moose from wandering out into the roadways, kind of prevent some collisions. Mr. Young, again, adds, when you have a car-moose collision, both sides lose. You're putting at least an 800-pound animal in the air. They go through the windshield because of the way their legs are. I don't know why I'm making it in New York. It just is in my mind. They'll go through the windshield because of the way their legs are.
Go through the windshield, eh?
Go through the windshield, eh? It's because of the way their legs are. What we're seeing more of is people are a little bolder with wildlife because of the selfie generation, Instagram. People get a little closer to wildlife than they should.
Oh, that is a thing, though. I've seen.
Oh,
have
totally.
You seen, like, the videos of people who try to, like, get a selfie with a, like, a buffalo in Yellowstone, and then the buffalo, like, runs into them?
Yeah, because the buffalo doesn't appreciate it.
Nope.
I'm not going to lie. I watch those for fun sometimes because they're really funny.
It's hard to feel totally bad for them.
There's a little bit of, like, karma. You feel bad. I mean, obviously, like, they don't deserve that, but, like, just a little bit. If you're that dumb, like, maybe you...
Yeah, what's that German word that's, like, joy in the
Schadenfreude?
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Apparently disturbing any wildlife in this national park can get you a fine up to 19,000 Canadian... Nope, never mind. 25,000 Canadian dollars, which is 19,000 American dollars.
Oof.
Yeah.
So
or loons? Do they use loons over there?
Well, the loony is the, like, the $1 coin, because it has loons on it. And then there's a $2 coin that's called the toonie.
That's really cute.
Real creative, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this moose message isn't the only advice that Jasper National Park has given about human-animal relations in the past few days that make people go, like, what? Wait, hold on. Last week, the park tweeted to warn residents not to hang Christmas lights in open spaces so they won't get tangled up in elk antlers. Which, I'll be real, not something that I've considered.
But if you ever saw an elk with, like, Christmas lights tangled up in his antlers, would there be anything more Christmassy than that?
Oh, yeah, I'd think, oh, he's so festive.
Yes.
Like, it sucks for him, but, you know.
But it should be on a Christmas card.
Yeah.
A humorous Christmas card, maybe. Did it say anywhere in the article, like, what can you do to stop the moose from licking your car?
Sorry?
How do you stop a moose from licking your car?
So they actually tweeted about this.
Did I say moose? A moose.
Moose. So they actually tweeted about this. They said, moose licks usually happen on cars stopped to view moose. Keep beyond moose tongue distance by moving on before a moose approaches.
Oh, I see. Just don't sit there and wait for them to come
Yeah. And actually the article followed up. They were like, what exactly is moose tongue distance? And the guy they were interviewing said, I don't know how long a moose tongue is, but stay at least 100 feet away just to be safe.
Just imagine moose tongue 100 feet long.
imagine
it stops right there, right at the 100 foot line.
A moose eating the way like a chameleon eats.
You.
Or a frog.
The guy that they interviewed says, as someone who's had their car licked by a bighorn sheep, I realize there's limited options when you're parked. Which, wow, is that a sentence? I love the guy that they're interviewing here. So sometimes, like, if you are approaching your parked car and there's already a moose, like, licking it, the best thing you can do is don't approach it. Moose are big and they can get very angry. So, you know, if any of our listeners have that issue.
Yeah, they are really, really big. If you ever see
big.
A moose in
they're
the
huge.
Wild. Have you seen a moose in the wild?
Yes, from far, far away. And I was have. Like, I'm glad he didn't get any closer.
I've seen them when I'm hiking. I used to hike a lot when I was a kid. And when you see a moose, you're like, wow, they are a big animal.
Yeah, because you see them in like books
like
or movies or whatever.
Horses.
And you're like, oh, it's about, you know, horse size, maybe like
they're
deer
bigger
size.
Than horses.
No, they're,
yeah,
they're huge.
Yeah, they're really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of elk when I went to Estes Park, Colorado.
And, oh,
nice. Like, they're not, definitely nowhere as close to moose size, but, like, they're still a
they're
lot bigger
big too,
than
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah,
and,
they are
like,
pretty big.
Really? But they were really, really tame. Like, they would go and walk into the town center and, like, they would chill out on the golf course,
yeah.
which I thought was endlessly yep. hilarious. And they would just kind of, like, you would just drive by in the morning and you'd just be like, oh, there's the elk just sitting by hole 13. Just,
really?
Yeah.
I've had two interactions with deer. I've had interactions with the red deer on that one island in Japan
mm-hmm.
who were, like, very friendly. Like, it was a little bit alarming. Like, some of them would want to headbutt you if you weren't forthcoming with food. And then the other interaction I've had was at girls' camp. We, one year we went to a camp with, a large deer population who would, they were kind of aggressive and they would like run at you and headbutt you. And like, the year that I went, I think, they were very, very, the staff were extremely happy that we had nobody go to the hospital that year because of a deer attack.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's something.
We had some aggro deer there. I don't know what the deal was, but they were definitely like way angrier than the ones in Japan.
Wow.
They weren't getting them snacks.
No, they were not here for it. If you approach them, they would go like full, like bull mode. They would just headbutt the heck out of you.
That's wild.
Well, I think cause we were going like during the season where there's a lot of young fawns. And so they were especially aggressive.
So they were like protective of their.
Yes, very much so.
Little child deer.
Yeah. Yep.
I've got one last story. This is something that also went kind of viral this week. Mysterious monolith found in southwest Utah.
Ooh.
So they were flying over, some people were flying over southwest Utah in a helicopter, and they spotted a monolith sticking out of the ground in the desert. There's a picture of it. You might have seen it. It kind of just looks like a stainless steel structure planted in the ground.
Yeah.
Have you seen, what is that movie? The one everybody's going on about.
2001 Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
That's what everyone is referring to when they talk about this thing, because it kind of looks like the monolith at the beginning of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are making jokes about how now, like, we're going to have some sort of technological advance, which is, like, a theme of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, authorities in Utah say they are investigating the origins of a mysterious monolith spotted sticking out of the ground in a rural area in the southwestern part of the state. And it's out in the middle of nowhere is the weird thing. Like, someone just planted this there, and they don't know how long it's been there or why it's there. A helicopter pilot. The helicopter was actually there counting bighorn sheep when they spotted it.
As you do.
They're flying over, counting all the bighorn sheep. And the pilot, Brett Hutchins, said the silver-colored metal monolith was sticking out of the ground in the middle of some red rock. He said the structure appeared to be 10 to 12 feet high and seemed to have been intentionally planted rather than merely dumped out of an aircraft. Hutchins said the scene was reminiscent of the Black Monolith from the 1968 film 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
He said, I'm assuming it's some new wave artist or something, you know, something, somebody that was a big 2001 fan.
I was thinking, like, is this like Utah Banksy?
I think so. I think it's, you know, people in Utah are bored and they don't have a lot to do.
Or aliens.
The Department of Public Safety said an investigation of the object's origins is ongoing. It's illegal to install structures or art without authorization on federally managed public lands, no matter what planet you're from.
Sounds like square rules to me.
Yes, it does sound like a little bit of a buzzkill.
Sue the aliens.
We're going to sue the crap out of these aliens. A little bit less exciting, I guess, than most movie versions, but...
Yeah, the whole, like, the final battle is just an intense litigation in court.
I could get down with that.
Since the story came out, people have been, like, going out there to see it, because it's out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. There's no other reason really to go there.
Yeah, like
although
Cadillac
the Red
Ranch.
Rock does look kind of attractive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know. No one knows yet. No one's taking credit for it. No one knows how long it's been there before it was spotted.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of want to see it, too. I kind of do, too. I think it's kind of cool. Allison, your mom, has other opinions about it. She doesn't think it's that cool. And she doesn't even think it's that unusual. Like, she says people do weird things in Utah all the time. And
it is Utah.
Yeah.
Is this the Uinta Basin?
I think it, I don't know where exactly it is, but I think it's more like in the area of like Moab, like further south.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not exactly where there's been a lot of, not exactly where there's been a lot of strange paranormal activity. Uinta Basin's usually the go-to for that, but it's in the area.
Yeah. So, Allison lives about an hour away from a place called Skinwalker Ranch. Have you heard of that?
Well, not anymore. I mean, she used to.
She grew up.
Yeah.
Her family lives about an hour away from Skinwalker Ranch, which is known as like a area where there's a lot of paranormal activity and weird sightings and things.
Yeah. It's a bizarre area.
I read about it at night, though, so of course I thought everything was like very terrifying. I'm sure if I read about it now, I'd probably be like, meh, whatever.
I mean, I listened to a podcast about it. Again, I listened to a podcast at night about it, but it was still pretty freaky.
Yeah. Weird stuff going on there.
Weird stuff, yeah.
Yep. Let's do a segment we haven't done in a little while. I feel like maybe Carolyn has done this before, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to play a couple of rounds of Made Up Movie Minute.
I don't think she's done this before.
I don't think I have.
So the way this works is I give you a list of actual movies, and you have a minute and a half to make up a plot for this movie based only on the title. And this year, I found an article from Vulture that is talking about, apparently there were 83 Christmas movies made this year.
Okay.
This year alone. Like, and we're talking about Hallmark movies and made-for-Netflix movies and Lifetime movies. I picked out some of the titles to pull it up again here. So you can pick from the list. We're going to do a couple of them. And you have, once I start the clock, you have a minute and a half to come up with a plot summary for whichever movie you pick.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
All right. Let me set a timer.
I think this will be fun to do with Carolyn.
Let's see. I gotta come up with something appropriate that is like...
Yeah, it does have to be appropriate. Some of these might be tempting to be a little inappropriate.
Because they always name them so poorly at Christmas.
Yeah. This is a family-friendly podcast.
I'm all over it. It'll be
all right.
Clean as a whistle.
Okay.
Some whistles are gross.
Let me give you the first set of titles. The Christmas Setup. Dashing in December. The Princess Switched Again.
I saw that one.
I saw that one.
Ah!
You saw Switched Again?
I haven't watched Switched Again. I watched The Princess Switch, and it was
so bad. I watched a video on The Princess Switched Again. I think a couple of drag queens were reacting to it, and I really liked their content, so
really
I watched it.
We have to not do that one, because maybe you know too much about it.
I know too much about it. We can't do it.
A Timeless Christmas. Christmas Comes Twice. Christmas on Ice. So let's start with those. And then once you guys do your, made up, I'll read the actual plot summary.
It's always going to be better.
So
ours
yours
is.
Will always be better. I agree with that. So let me read that list again. The Christmas Setup, Dashing in December, A Timeless Christmas, Christmas Comes Twice, or Christmas on Ice.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by Christmas Comes Twice and Christmas on Ice.
I kind of like Dashing in December as well.
Do we want to do Dashing in December?
Oh, do we do this together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to, it's like an improv thing.
I don't know. You pick.
Dashing in December, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me pull up the timer. All right. Ready? Which one are you doing? Dashing in December?
Yeah.
All right. Ready? Go.
So I'm thinking a track and field aspect.
I was absolutely thinking that. Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole movie's building up to a marathon at the end. That'll be their big finale.
Yeah.
But let's introduce our characters. Who's our first character? He should have a last name, Dashing.
Oh, yes. Daniel Dashing?
Daniel Dashing. And he's lost his mojo.
He's coming back from a torn ACL from last season.
Yeah.
And he's trying to believe in himself again so he can win the marathon.
Yeah.
But he gets a new trainer.
He gets a new trainer. And
who's Santa in disguise.
I was going to say, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And it turns out that Santa... he's kind of like jaded and he's like, nobody believes in Christmas anymore. And he's like, and by the power of training Daniel Dashing to run the marathon, he starts believing in Christmas. And, Daniel Dashing could fall during the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And, he looks up and he sees his trainer in a sleigh. He's like, don't give up, Daniel. And then he gets back up and he's like, I'm gonna dash. In December.
The power of his running and the belief that he has fuels the spirit of Christmas in the end.
Yeah, it does. He's running.
10 seconds.
He's running to give presents to orphans. He's like, those orphans aren't going to give themselves presents.
When he crosses the finish line, it lights up the entire Christmas tree in the middle of the town square.
Yeah, and then Santa and Daniel kiss.
Platonically. It took a turn. I was going to say, like, as a network executive, I feel like there needs to be a little bit more romance in this Christmas romance.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
The romance is about running.
It can be a sports movie, too, I guess. The romance
between a man and his passion for track and field.
So the Hallmark movies, I've never actually watched them, but I've read a lot of the summaries. The female protagonist's name is always some, like, Christmas pun. Like, her name's like Christy or Noel.
Holly.
Or Holly.
Carol. They're very rarely named. I think that was mostly a limited time series. But it was very pop. It was kind of a cult classic.
All right. I'm going to pull up the actual summary. This was Dashing in December.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find it.
I bet there aren't even any orphans.
They certainly didn't have Santa and Daniel kiss at the end. Somebody kissed at the end.
I bet somebody's name is Dashing, though.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, he's probably, like, Dashing as well. Everybody, like, makes jokes about how, all like, right.
How dashing he is.
Dashing in December premiered on the Paramount Network on December 13th at 7 p.m. Set your DVRs. Mm-hmm. Andie MacDowell is draped in so many shawls in this cinematic event. When her fancy schmancy big city son comes home to the beautiful family ranch.
Is this the real?
Yes, this is the real one.
Oh no.
When her fancy schmancy big city son comes home to the beautiful family ranch for the holidays, he starts to fall for Cowboy Heath, who is Mark Ruffalo sound alike. Based on the trailer, at one point, MacDowell will give a moving Elio's dad speech. It actually is a gay romance.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Nice. We were on the money about that.
I would watch that. It's gay cowboys.
Movie night?
Yeah.
Dashing in December.
I actually do like watching Hallmark movies because they're not, they don't need a lot of
this one's on Paramount Network, which I don't even know, like, do we get that? I have no idea. I didn't even know it was a channel.
I think you just have to, like, wrap the tinfoil around your antenna and it picks it up somehow.
Is it an over-the-air or is it a... I don't know. We probably get it. We get lots of channels that I don't even know exist.
It's probably like a freebie you didn't know you had, just Mark Ruffalo. that album that they gave out to free for everybody on Apple.
I love how even like the ones who are trying to be a little subversive, a little edgy, they're still just like, oh yeah, country boy and big city boy.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's still the same.
It's still following the same convention.
Just drag Hallmark movie. Like just change one aspect of the movie.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a very conventional romance as well.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And they're both like very attractive looking, like very normal looking.
We can't have uglies in our movies. Come on. We can't have uggos on our screen.
Unless they're extremely like charismatic and quirky. They've all got to be good looking people. We know that.
Yeah. Because otherwise they have the
personality. Okay, well, one of them.
Let's do one more. Let me give you another set of titles.
Okay.
All right. There is Christmas by Starlight, The Christmas Listing, In Love by Christmas, and N is spelled I-N-N.
Ooh.
Operation Christmas Drop, or Jingle Bell Bride. Okay. So let me read those over to you one more time. Christmas by Starlight, The Christmas Listing, In Love by Christmas, I-N-N,
mm-hmm.
Operation Christmas Drop, or Jingle Bell Bride.
I gotta say, I'm kind of intrigued by In Love by Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do it. I'm also intrigued by, what, Operation Christmas Drop?
Yes, yeah. I kind of want to do, that just sounds like you have like some kind of weird Christmas SWAT team, like.
Or something. Jingle Bell Bride is very whimsical, but I don't know if I can riff on that very well.
Yeah.
It's a little bog standard. I don't know, which one do you want? In Love by Christmas or Operation Christmas Drop?
Let's try In Love by Christmas.
All right, okay, ready? Okay. And go.
All right, so obviously we're going to start out the main location. It's a bed and breakfast. It's very, like, folksy, very, we'll say it's in, like, Maryland, someplace kind of pretty. Vermont. Vermont is ideal. So, yeah, a bed and breakfast in Vermont, and it's run by this old couple who's, like, having trouble in their marriage. And then, like, one day this big city, lady comes and she stays in their inn, but she snowed in, and they notice, the old couple notices that she has a spark with their male housekeeper.
Oh.
Antonin. Antonio.
Antony.
Yeah.
Antony.
And they realize that seeing the blossoming romance helps them fix their marriage.
Ooh, yeah. And there also has to be a scene where obviously the old couple hangs up mistletoe in very obvious places and hoping that they can make the big city lady and Antony.
Let's throw in a kid in a wheelchair. Why not? And a dog.
Oh, definitely. They adopt a stray dog together that yes. they find outside the bed and breakfast.
Yeah, and the dog is freezing and there's a kid in a wheelchair and there's like a funny scene where it's like, The wheelchair kid is like wheeling underneath the mistletoe and then the dog comes up and licks him on the face and he's like, aw, come on, Snowball.
Yeah.
Very heartwarming moment.
10 seconds.
I think that's really as best you can get.
Yeah. Should we have somebody die at the end? Plot twist die? Death?
No, that's way too sad for a Hallmark movie.
All right. So
I think my favorite spoof on Christmas movies is just every time that they're like, and secretly, he's Santa. Like,
I
wasn't expecting that. Not from a movie called Secret Santa.
Here it is. In Love by Christmas will be on the Lifetime Network on December 11th at 8 p.m. It says, a hotel industry workaholic wants to buy up a quaint local inn of a small hometown she escaped to add to her hotel chain's portfolio. But her high school rival has their eye on the inn as well. So, I don't know. I think yours was better.
I think
yours was better.
Yeah.
I just had had age diversity, had all sorts of diversity. It had a dog named Snowball.
Where the dog licks the boy in the wheelchair will be a viral hit on YouTube.
Aw, Snowball.
Come on.
Come on.
All right. Well, that was wonderful. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
For treat yourself this week, we've got questionable Christmas candies.
You want to join us for treat yourself? Either of you guys? There's Will and Bex are both in adjacent rooms.
We've got Christmas dots.
Ooh, okay.
You know, dots are kind of like gumdrops.
I love dots.
They are cherry, lime, and vanilla flavored, and they kind of look like they're snow-capped, I guess. I'm not even sure what this one is, to be honest, but it is Double Crisp Coal.
Oh, candy coal.
There's a tagline that says, being naughty never tasted so nice.
I've never had those before.
I don't know if they're chocolate or, I don't know what they are.
I think it's the gross chocolate.
I think they may
coins.
Be like chocolatey. Like, not chocolate, but chocolatey.
There is a lot of Christmas-themed chocolate that's very nasty, in my opinion. It's very waxy.
Candy cane Mentos.
Ew.
So Bex has joined us. William is here. We got lots of people to try stuff. What should we try first? The Christmas dots, the candy coal.
I know Bex doesn't like dots very much.
Start with the Mentos.
Or the Mentos. The Mentos, no, the Mentos are going to leave
peppermint in your mouth.
Yeah, but they're going to be gross. Yeah.
Well, they're going to be gross, and I want
Peppermintos don't sound that bad, though.
I think the coal I think
they sound just normal. Like, that's not that much different from normal.
Okay, we'll try the coal first. Just peppermint.
All right, let's try the coal first. Hand them around.
I like the way they're packaged.
They look like little lumps of coal.
Yeah, they do. They look like little turtle shells, almost.
I'm going to mute the mic so we're not chewing into them. All right, what do you think of the double crisp coal?
They were exactly, when I said, like, the nasty Christmas chocolate, like, the very, like, kind of waxy, crumbly, weird chocolate. I was exactly right. I do like that it had the crispies in it. It could be a little
It's very low-quality chocolate with little crispies in it.
I feel like this is the type... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I feel like this is the type of candy where, like what gets it sold is the, like, packaging. Like, it's packaged like coal, coal. But on the inside, it's, like, it's just chocolate.
It's a novelty. Yeah, like the chocolate coins.
It's pretty good chocolate, though, I feel
it
like.
It seems like something... Something like your grandma would put out in, like, a little candy dish during Christmas, just to be like, oh, you've been naughty.
I acknowledge that most people think this kind of chocolate is gross, because it's, like, the really, like, low-quality Easter chocolate. But yeah. I really like it.
So, as a reminder, we rate things from gross... From a scale of gross to meh to okay to delicious. And I think I'm going to call this meh.
Same.
Meh.
Meh. Hard disagree.
I was going to do okay, just because, like, it was kind of gross, but at the same time, I'd still eat the whole bag.
It's still chocolate, yeah.
If it's around, it's going to get eaten.
Yeah.
So, Carolyn gives us an okay.
I feel like it might be the type of thing where, like, I'd have it up first and be like, oh, this is really good, but by the time I finished it, I'd just be like, why did I finish that?
I mean, we all recognize this is not high-quality chocolate, right?
No.
What do you think? What do you rate it?
I forgot what the system was.
It was gross, meh, okay, delicious.
Delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
All right, let's try the Christmas dots.
I'm so ready for
this. Somebody has to be out here eating all of this chocolate.
Do you like dots?
And I guess you're just the person.
Do people like dots?
I love dots.
Dots are from the Tootsie Corporation.
I have a soft spot for anything Tootsie.
I used to.
They really get stuck in your teeth.
I used to, but then I got braces and I kind of didn't like them. So we'll see how I feel about them.
They're really bad for getting stuck in your teeth. I kind of like them.
Yeah, I had braces from a young age, so I wasn't allowed to eat, like, gumdrops as a kid, so now I'm not a big gumdrop person.
Oh, see, I had the same thing, but it just in turn fueled my love for it.
Just made you want it more.
You're rebellious.
It was the forbidden fruit, and by God, I would take it.
I detached too many braces for me to, like, really, because I was like, no, I'll eat whatever I want, and it unstuck, and I was like, okay, maybe I should.
All right, so I guess there's two flavors. There's cherry and lime, and then they also have vanilla with them. So pass that around, and you can take a cherry couple. And a lime, and we'll try them out.
Lime and vanilla is an underrated. Why do they smell like Play-Doh?
Because they kind of taste like Play-Doh.
Because dots always kind of smell like Play-Doh.
They do.
I sense we're going to have a real range of opinions on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bex couldn't keep it in their mouth. They've spit it out.
I can go for some more.
I like them, but I like dots anyway. I think they're delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Bex is looking at me.
The lime ones were better than the cherry ones.
You did give it a genuine try. You tried both.
I could not keep it in my mouth, though, so I'm going with gross. Is there anything worse than gross?
No, seriously. That's so gross.
Wait, was it the texture or was it the taste for you?
Yes.
So I feel like at this point we almost need a drop for this because this happens so much. But it's one of those examples where, like, it's candy or it's cookies, but, like, there's nothing creative about it. Like, it just tastes like dots to me.
It does kind of just taste like normal dots.
Which I really like dots.
I could barely
taste. I'll give it, like, a delicious with an asterisk next to it.
What about you?
It's okay.
Elizabeth. All right, let's try the...
I couldn't taste any of the lime at all. Like, the cherry, it's like, okay, I can taste it.
Oh, Carolyn, did you...
I thought they were good.
Delicious?
They were delicious.
Yeah.
I also thought they were delicious.
Yeah, I kind of want some more of them now.
All right, let's try the peppermint Mentos.
I remember dots being a lot harder, like a lot tougher to chew than they were. I feel like I'd like the Mentos. I'm a fan of Mentos.
Mentos are pretty good.
I like peppermint most anything. So.
Someone made Did you get two?
Peppermint stuff.
I got two.
Someone made a viral video that was going around Twitter about supposedly like dumping Mentos and Diet Coke like in an apartment toilet, and then like the whole place.
That like, seems fake.
Blew up. It was fake. It was totally fake, but it was kind of funny.
Oh, it's got a little sled on it. That's very cute.
A little what?
Mine has a star. I guess they have different
little shapes.
Christmas.
I didn't look either.
On them. So, what do you think of the peppermint Mentos?
Disgusting. Wait, why? What?
Texture?
No, seriously?
That is so gross.
They're just Mentos texture.
Texture? All
right. Do you not like Mentos?
I don't like Mentos. Mentos should die in a hole.
See these? They taste like Mentos and a candy cane or a Starlight Mint.
You know what this tasted like? It tasted like the dried toothpaste that gets sucked to the side of your sink that you scraped off.
Okay, that's fair, but I still like
it. It reminded me of two things. First of all, it reminds me of like when you chew up a candy cane and when like it starts to get chewy when you like chew it up. And second
of
all,
if you have a candy cane out on a really humid day and it starts to get kind of chewy.
Ew, what?
You never had that before?
No.
And then when you just like chew up a hard candy cane and you like just grind it. But it also kind of reminds me of
I ain't felt like that.
There's these really, really good like Mentos mint gum. They're like some of my favorite like
mint
gum. It kind of reminds me of that too. I give it a delicious.
I thought they were delicious.
Flavor. I did too.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I think they're only okay. I like.
You've rated everything okay, haven't you, Al?
Maybe it's just Elizabeth? An okay kind of day. I'm not super impressed. I'm not super impressed by all of these. I'm not going to lay awake at night thinking, oh man, I want another one.
Oh, also, I like the little like.
Bex and Carolyn both had strong reactions to two different things.
The funny thing was,
Carolyn had to spit out the Mentos, and she actually asked for the box of dots to make it up.
Yeah.
I had to save myself for something better.
And I, like, literally bit into the dot and, like, kind of chewed it for a second and immediately spat it out. The thing with these Mentos is that, like, I like Mentos and I like peppermint just fine. They taste exactly like a peppermint, like a candy cane. But the texture does make it feel like gum, so it doesn't feel like you're supposed to swallow it because it's pepperminty and it's gummy textured. And it does taste a little bit like toothpaste.
I do like
thank you.
I still
a
like
little
it.
Bit.
I do
it does.
Really, I really like the packaging of Mentos. There's something just kind of satisfying about it, like the little tube.
But unwrapping it. Yeah.
I also really like, there's these little like minimalist like designs of like ornaments or something.
Yeah, there's cute little stamps of like ornaments and snowflakes.
Christmas images.
I like that.
Yeah, that's cute. Yeah. I like fruit Mentos a lot, though, so having
I do
a different
like the fruit
flavor.
Ones. The fruit ones are good.
Yeah, they're the best Mentos, and nothing's ever going to beat it. So that's why it's downgraded to just an okay.
I am a disgusting 17-year-old for this, but the fruit Mento gum, I think, is really, really good.
Oh, the fruit Mento gum is good, too,
The peppermint ones would probably fizz up really badly if you put them in Coke, huh?
It would taste really bad, probably, if you drank the mixture.
Would it, like, explode, though? Probably. All right.
That'd be cool. Anyway. Let's do it.
Well, that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Bex and William, for joining us for Treat Yourself.
Yes.
Thanks, Carolyn and Elizabeth, for being on the podcast today.
No, thank you.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talktohabpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at TTDpodcast on Twitter. You can find us at talktohabpodcast on Instagram and Facebook. And at talktodabpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes from 1 to 226. If you like the podcast, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about our family-friendly podcast. And the other thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps other people be able to find the podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for later. Alligator, my friend.